Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with expositions of the Scriptures, especially these days on the epistles of the Apostle Paul, dealing in the book of Galatians with the wonderful grace of God, the sufficiency of the work of Christ for us, and the sufficiency of the work of Christ in us. For in chapters 5 and 6 with which we're dealing, we have come to the place where we realize that a godly life can only be lived by the Spirit of God who indwells us. And as we yield ourselves to the Lord, He does the job. And in the last chapter, chapter 6, the first 10 verses, we're dealing with how the grace of God teaches me, teaches you, all believers, how to live with other Christians. In other words, he's dealing with right relationships. In the first verse, we have where grace restores the fallen brother. And then in verse 2, grace teaches us to carry one another's burdens in their frailty and in their weakness. We've been discussing that in our last lessons. And then the third thing in verse 3, the grace of God guards against self-exaltation. If you are too great to help a fallen brother, you're just deceived. You're just revealing the fact that you're not spiritual. True greatness is found in service toward my brethren, not for self, and especially for the brother who is weak and the one who falls. Now, also in verses 4 to 5, we find that the grace of God causes us to bear our own responsibilities. Allow me to read these two verses. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, here's an amazing thing. In verse 2, we ought to bear each other's one's burdens. But now, in verses 4 and 5, we ought to take care of our own responsibilities, and we prove our love for Christ in carrying our own responsibility, especially toward others. As I said in verse 2, the burden is concerning his people who are in failure, whereas in verse 5, it's the burden of responsibility before God. In other words, you and I are going to stand on our own two feet when we come in the presence of God. We're going to be asked concerning our responsibility and what we have done in bearing our own burdens before the Lord, the life that will please Him. It's so easy for us to look at the other fellow and miss what we should do ourselves. That's why he says in verse 2, we are to help our fallen brother and carry his burden. So fulfill the law of Christ in verses 4 and 5. We have to bear our own responsibility before God, and especially toward our fallen brother. We carry our own burden. And then in verses 6 to 10, grace guards against selfishness. I want you to mark these two or three things we have in these verses. Grace guards against selfishness in verses 6 to 10. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, may I suggest three things in verses 6 to 10. First of all, we are to care for those who minister to us the Word of God. We have fellowship between the teacher and the hearer. Now, I could spend time here, by the way, on this question of your responsibility as a Christian. If you are enjoying the ministry of the Word of God, then you also have a responsibility toward those who teach you the things of God. And if I'm a real believer, and I'm walking in the Spirit of God, and seeking to please the Lord, then I'm going to take care of those who minister to us the Word of God, whether it's your pastor, or your teacher, or even us on the radio. Now, I rarely ever talk about money, you know that. But I just say here in this verse, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, in the book of Timothy, talks about the fact that he who teaches is worthy of double honor. I suggest this to you, to have fellowship between the hearer and the teacher. And then in verses 7 to 8, the second thing is, we reap what we sow. We can't deceive God. And as you know, this is a principle. We can't evade or dodge our responsibility the one to the other. None can escape this principle which God has laid down. We reap what we sow, even with believers. And if I do not carry my responsibility to my fellow believer in his frailty, in his weakness, then I will reap what I sow. Take, for example, Israel. They were warned. The prophets taught them and warned them, and then they sowed indifference and disobedience, and they reaped a whirlwind. You see, you either sow to the flesh or you sow to the spirit. And if you do things for the promulgation of the flesh, that's the end of it. There's no reward. If you sow to the spirit, you're dealing with eternal verities. It goes on forever. I want you to mark this as a principle all through your Bible. And he's dealing especially about believers being selfish. Selfish toward other Christians. Not bearing their responsibilities toward other Christians. Not bearing their responsibilities to those who minister to them in the Word of God. And this law of God can't be changed. You reap what you sow. You can't escape it. If I sow wheat, I'm going to get wheat. If I sow to the flesh, I'll reap corruption. If I sow to the Spirit, I enjoy eternal things. It's in John's mind, for example, in the Epistle of John chapter 2, when he said, the world and the lust passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In other words, don't fret away your time on passing things, but deal with eternal verities. And the things of the Spirit are the things that are eternal. And then in verses 9 and 10, he gives us an encouragement. Let us not be weary in well-doing. It's easy to get tired, you know, let somebody else do it. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, at the right time, we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Here's the encouragement. Even if you are misunderstood, even if you are unappreciated, don't lose heart. You will reap in due season. Hence, take every opportunity that comes your way to do good, especially to the people of God. Remember, God sees it. You know, I was astounded in studying the gospel through Luke chapter 7, how the Lord noticed the courtesy of the woman who washed his feet and noticed the discourtesy of the Pharisee who didn't wash his feet. The very little things of life which you and I just pass over, the Lord sees. Don't you forget, he counts the hairs of your head and he numbers your steps and he bottles your tears. He knows that everything that goes on in your life. He knows your thoughts are far off. He knows when you leave the house. He knows when you come in. He knows all about you. And he knows your attitude to other Christians. And he knows when you're dodging your responsibility. And he wants to encourage us that we shall reap in due season. Even if you feel you're misunderstood in the thing you want to do, and your motive is right, even if Christians don't understand you, but your motive is right, you want to manifest love and help them, God takes note of that, and in due season, you shall reap. But don't faint. You see, well, what I do is, I've done so much for those people, and they never have appreciated what I have done. Don't worry. Don't you lose heart. The time's going to be coming when you will reap just what you've sown. And if you have done things for the people of God, and you've done good things, and there's been no sign of appreciation, or you've been misunderstood, don't worry about it. This principle is absolutely true. You shall reap exactly what you sow. And if you manifested love and tenderness and compassion, the day's going to come when you're going to reap a real harvest of love, of tenderness, of compassion from somebody else. Don't you make God, don't count him short on this. The Lord will take care of you. My, it's a wonderful thing to have a Savior who knows all about me. Believe me, I say things, do things, my heart is all right. But sometimes I'm misunderstood by the people to whom I speak or whom I try to do things for. They don't look at it in the same light that I do. They see it through their eyes. And they don't see it through your eyes. And sometimes there's misunderstanding. And sometimes there's no appreciation of what you're doing for them. But don't you worry. Don't lose heart. It says here, let us not be weary in well-doing. We shall reap in due season. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. And every chance you have, every opportunity given to you, let us do good to all men, and especially to those of the household of faith. Now these are practical things in the sixth chapter, from verses 1 right on down through verse 10. How can I live with my brethren? And the grace of God makes a provision whereby you can live with your brethren and be filled with his joy, his blessing, his compassion, his tenderness, his love. Oh, I tell you, this life in Christ is a wonderful life. And it fits you right in with your brethren. Even when they don't understand you, even when they don't appreciate you, don't worry. The Lord does. He appreciates you. And in due season, you shall reap. So don't faint. Don't lose heart. The Lord knows all about it, and he'll take care of it, and he'll give to you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord bless you today for his name's sake.